It's my great pleasure to bring on Adam Nimoy now, who is a director and also promoting a brand new film that will be being shown in Gloucester, I guess. And Adam Nimoy, welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Adam Nimoy is, of course, the son of Leonard Nimoy, and anybody who is in my generation or younger, very aware of the fantastic legacy that Leonard Nimoy has left. But please tell us about this film, For the Love of Spock, and why you are in Gloucester.
Well, For the Love of Spock is a documentary primarily about Mr. Spock, and it was a film that my father and I were collaborating on before he passed away as a way to celebrate 50 years of Star Trek. We wanted to create something to add to the various events that are happening over the course of this year, celebrating half a century of Star Trek and of Mr. Spock. After Dad passed away, the film sort of expanded to include the life of Leonard Nimoy and his legacy as well. And there's a lot of my personal story with my father kind of intertwined throughout the film. And the reason why we're in Gloucester is because the film festival contacted me about showing the film here, and I feel, you know, the Nimoys have an affinity for Massachusetts. My father was born and raised in Boston and spent a lot of time in the state. In fact, his theater career really began at the North Shore Theater in Beverly, Mass., and I kind of wanted to kind of honor that and pay tribute to that Massachusetts connection to our family.
This is fantastic. Let me just mention that the film is at the 8th Annual Cape Ann Film Festival, which is at the Cape Ann Cinema in Gloucester, and that's at the west end of Main Street. I think it's 21 Main Street. But, you know, you bring up something that I did want to mention to you, and you already broached it, is I saw Leonard Nimoy in two productions. I think it was in two consecutive summers at the North Shore Music Theater, and it knocked my socks off. It was well after Star Trek, but he was in Camelot, he played Arthur, and he was in Fiddler on the Roof, and he played Tevye. And both of those productions were fantastic, got to sit right out front, and the charisma that he exuded was just so evident, just a tremendous presence, and a pretty damn good stage actor, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was, he loved his theater career. He was really enjoying himself when we were here. He really kind of grew into the role. It was a very major switch of kind of where his career had been going. He had been in Star Trek for 3 years, then Mission Impossible for 2 years, which he finished in the spring of 71. And then that summer, we were at the North Shore for Fiddler on the Roof. And it was a whole new challenge for him. And I think it was so enjoyable. It was such a great production of Fiddler in particular, because that kind of kicked off everything for him. And that decade of the 70s, he did about a dozen plays, but it really began in Beverly.
I never realized, of course, that he could sing so well, too.
We talk about that quite a bit in my documentary, For the Love of Spock, my dad's recording career. He liked to sing. He cut several albums. Some of it is very kitschy. Is sort of we kind of laugh at a little bit now, in retrospect. But he loved to sing, and he really was able to pull it off with those musicals. And we were really proud of the work he did, and people loved the shows. They were sellouts. I loved it. I was watching night after night.
Yeah, it was tremendous. And the other connection, if I may, walk into the Mugar Omni Theater at the Museum of Science, and you hear the voice of God coming from 360 degrees, and it's Leonard Nimoy's voice.
Yeah, that he actually recorded back in the 80s, and I just read an article that they're intending to keep that introduction of my dad, and I think that's such an honor that they're paying tribute to him that way.
You know, you were a youngster when Star Trek came out, and I was a little bit older than you, and I was... I'm a science fiction fan as well as a science fan, a long-time high school math teacher. And in those days, looking for science fiction television, I think there was The Outer Limits, there was the old Rod Serling reruns, and then there was Star Trek. And it was a little campy, but when you look back at the stories for the 60s, it was like salve on a wound, because it was such turbulent times. And I don't know about you, Adam, but for me, I think it was in high school and college, watching a show like Star Trek with the the incredible cast. It was a time of optimism. It made me feel optimistic. Did you get that when you talked to people in your travels?
Yeah, I mean, when we interviewed people throughout the course of making the documentary For the Love of Spock, uniformly, most people said that they were inspired by Star Trek because of its positive message, and that was particularly true of the '60s, obviously, when the show first aired. But people are still saying it still resonates with people, generationally across the years because of this positive message of the future that so many people from different backgrounds can get together and work together towards a common goal that we will survive into the 23rd and 24th centuries. And we're going to be unified as the human race, exploring new galaxies and new planets. So it's a very positive message of hope, and that is, I think, the singular reason why people continue to be fascinated by the message of Star Trek.
Well, I don't know if this is true. I had read that Nichelle Nichols was actually advised by Dr. Martin Luther King to continue in her role on that program as a model for black kids. Is that true?
That's what I heard. I've heard that repeatedly, and I think that is true. Yeah, that she was going to go off and do, I think she was going to be going to Broadway. She had an offer to do something on Broadway in a play, and she was talking to Dr. King about it, and he was emphatic that she should stay on the show because she's going to reach a broader audience, and she was making a statement. She was a woman of color on the bridge of the Enterprise, of equal footing with every other officer on the bridge of the Enterprise. That's the beauty of the show, and I think, that's the story I've been hearing, and I believe it's probably true.
Something like this, my dad was an Iwo Jima veteran, and he never talked about the war, and I always tried to find out information about it. He did 3 tours in Vietnam, never talked about it, and then passed away, and I miss him to this day. But do you learn more stuff about your dad as you've done this documentary over the last year or so?
Well, yeah, I mean, I get more and more about the impact that Spock has had, that Dad has had on culture and on people across, from every age group. And the thing that really struck me was when I interviewed the new cast members of the Star Trek films that are being produced now, the new Enterprise crew under the J.J. Abrams reimagining of Star Trek. They were all individually told me how inspired they were by my dad being a part of that, of the reincarnation of Star Trek, of interacting with them, that his spirit was still very much with them in Star Trek Beyond, this last installment, even though Dad was not present with them. And that was kind of a new revelation to me. I mean, I knew he had a lot of fans, I knew he had affected a lot of people, but the extent of that, of his impact on people's lives was something that really was kind of like new for me to learn about.
Oh, there's no question. I've talked with astronomers and scientists and even an astronaut or two, and they have said exactly that the character of Spock has just been such an inspiration. And can I ask you a question about, I think I remember reading about 2 biographies or autobiographies that your father wrote, is that right?
Exactly correct, yes.
Well, can you mention those? Because I think so many people, we are used to seeing characters or actors as characters and in many different aspects, but the role your dad had was just larger than life, and here it is 50 years later, and we're talking about it.
Yeah, well, he wrote 2 autobiographies, one in the mid-70s. It was entitled I Am Not Spock, and then the other one came out, I believe, in the 90s, and that was I Am Spock. Kind of bookended that. I mean, he wrote his first autobiography, I Am Not Spock, was mistitled. He had been apologizing for that title most of his professional career because it made fans very upset with him, very angry. They thought he was distancing himself from Spock, that he was ascending towards the character of Spock, that he was saying that he's better than Spock, he can do more work, he's an actor, he's got more capabilities than just Spock. It was not what he was saying at all. He was simply talking about this fact that people, like you were saying, they identify with the character they see on TV as being that character, and a lot of times people would confuse him and think that he actually was Mr. Spock. he was simply talking literally about it. He loved Spock, he respected Spock, he admired Spock. Spock brought a lot of opportunity to my dad, but the fact is that in the 70s, the fans wanted more Star Trek, and they weren't getting it, and they thought the reason was because Leonard Nimoy didn't like Spock and didn't want to be Spock.
Oh, I see.
It was a completely, it was a misnomer. And again, my dad apologized profusely throughout the course of his career. We don't even deal with that in my film because I just it's just it's a non-issue now. And when fans were very angry with him, but when it started making the first feature film, Star Trek the Motion Picture, all that died down because Dad was back on board. And I Am a Spock was much more kind of a thorough look back at Dad's career, and a lot of the audiobook reporting from that particular autobiography we use in my film to try to kind of give a sense of my dad's thoughts and feelings about various aspects of his career. It's a pretty enlightening piece of work.
Fantastic. Now, before I even knew you were in town, my son-in-law texted me last night. At the end of the text, he had the hand salute, live long and prosper. And I saw that on Channel 5, I believe it was, they had your father's most recent graduation address. I think it was at BU or one of the colleges in town. And it was a very moving speech. And at the end, there's that hand salute. Do you address that in the movie, where it came from?
Oh, yeah, we do. We have a whole section on that. I mean, about how that was created and what was the inspiration and what the effect it's had. I mean, because people have been using that for almost 50 years now to greet each other, or particularly to greet my father. I mean, whenever he was on the street or with fans, they would always still giving it now. So, yeah, we do talk about that and other aspects of the Spock character that was developed over time, either through the writing or through mentions that my dad brought to the role.
I can't wait to see that. Now, as a director, how much does a person, an actor, get to bring himself into a role, or is that kind of a trick question?
Well, it just depends on the circumstance. I mean, there are a lot of ideas that Dad brought to the part, and sometimes it really, really depends on the circumstance. A lot of the things that Dad brought to Spock, the producers embraced, and a lot of times there was discussion as to whether or not he should bring certain new aspects of the character to the role. So, I mean, it's a producer-writer medium, and you have to pay tribute to that. I mean, Spock is the creation of Gene Roddenberry, and a brilliant creation he was. He really laid out the palette. Dad really used a lot more color to give Spock much a more dynamic inner life, and create this very interesting character who could have been very bland and very boring because he's withholding so much emotion. But it's a matter of discussion. Sometimes it's a collaboration with the director. Sometimes you have a writer come on the set and discuss these things, and sometimes you invent stuff. You're going to have a writer-producer come on the set and say, that is not the character, and stop doing that, please. So
wow.
I mean, Dad ran the full gamut of getting feedback from that kind of...
Yep.
Kind of inventions. Hello, Rick. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. That was my phone. I'm sorry, Adam. I would think that's a complex issue, and when you can collaborate like that, everybody comes together. Then you get this tremendous creation. How much of a discovery has this a journey of discovery has this been for you in terms of putting this documentary together? I mean, I guess what I'm asking, are there some happy surprises that you've come across?
Well, yeah, there have been a number of surprises that have we've come across. A lot of interesting film that people have given us on my dad, a lot of photographs of my family that I didn't remember, that there was a professional photographer taking pictures of us at certain stages of our lives together. That was really revealing. We got some great still photographs of Dad in some of the plays he did, The Fiddler that we talked about, and some of the other theater productions. There's a lot of exploration of my life and my relationship to Spock and to my dad. There's a lot of, there's some film clips of me with Dad and a lot of still photographs of us together. It's a nice tribute to him, and there's a lot of self-discovery about my relationship. I had a lot of ups and downs with my dad, and it ended on a very good note with him.
Awesome,
Several years of his life. So it's a little bit of a journey of self-discovery about our relationship, and also just about the incredible breadth and legacy that Leonard Nimoy left behind. He's just the amount of work, the body of work, is really phenomenal.
Oh, he's been in so many things, and it's so amazing the time machine that television is, because you can see the gamut of his entire life. It's out there for the public. You know, the other thing I I'd like to ask you about, and then I know that you're very busy, and but when you're on television, someone like Leonard Nimoy or Adam Nimoy, who was recently on Big Bang Theory, it feels as a viewer, like we know you, and how How difficult or how easy is that for you in the public, or how difficult or easy might that have been for your dad in the public? Because it's sort of like we have an ownership of you because you're in my living room.
Yeah, well, it's not an issue for me. Most people still don't know who Adam Nimoy is. That's okay. Maybe you'll learn a little something from the film. But, I mean, it's a challenge for most celebrities because, you know, that's in the relationship. The fans know so much about Leonard Nimoy, about who he is and what his career was all about, and about Mr. Spock. But that's an advantage in terms of knowing the fans. There's a little bit of an imbalance. But my dad was always very... That's something I really learned from him. He was very patient with the fans and very able to ask. My dad had a great sense of humility. He had a great sense of gratitude about the fan base. He knows that the popularity of Spock started with fans, a lot of his career opportunities and with the fans. So he was very attentive, and that is why he spent a lot of time at the Star Trek conventions interacting with fans. You know, he's a really, he's just an interesting guy. He's do that in various aspects of
life. You know, Adam, I'm losing you, and I think I probably have used up too much of your phone battery. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you, Rick.
Okay, good. I got you. All right. My final question then is, if you don't mind, bring us to how you got to where you are. I know that you know, you are a director now. Obviously, your bio is online, but how did you change careers, go from one to another, and so on?
Well, we talk about that in the film a little bit. I just after practicing law for 7 years, it became clear to me that it wasn't something I really wanted to do for the rest of my life. It was really not a career that I was born to do. I enjoyed it while I was doing it for a few years there, but then I wanted to do something more creative. And I was in an acting class with Jeff Corey, who was my dad's acting teacher, and it was so exciting, the work they were doing, that I was so motivated and inspired by the work they were doing, that that's when I decided I wanted to really do something else that was more challenging to my creative juices. And Dad helped me and taught me and got me plugged into various places in the film business where I could start to learn about directing and start to work in the industry. And I directed TV shows for about 10 years.
Okay, so what's next now? Let's get back to this and we can wrap it up. For the Love of Spock, playing at the Cape Ann Cinema today in Gloucester, and Adam Nimoy will be on hand to answer questions. But what's next for the film and for you?
Well, the film opens actually officially on September 9th, which is the day after the 50th anniversary of the original series. We're available on iTunes now for pre-orders. I mean, we're still going to promote this film. We're opening in North America. We're going to be in Europe with the film. There's still a lot of promotion to do specifically with For the Love of Spock. And after that, more documentary work. Hopefully we're talking with NASA about the Mars Project. I'm very interested in the space program and want to continue, and I love making documentaries. This is the second one I've made so far, and I want to continue on that career path. So, and space is kind of the logical, so to speak, frontier for me to continue exploring.
I think that's awesome. Well, you got to get Seth Shostak in there somehow as well, but that is so exciting. And finally, the website, you've got a terrific website that fans and anybody should take a look at.
Right, that's For the Love of Spock. We have a Facebook page, we have a website, ForTheLoveOfSpock.com. You're still there, Rick.
Yeah, I'm here.
Fans can follow us there, and I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm looking forward to tonight. Here at Cape Ann, and thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Best of luck, and I can't wait to see it. Take care.
Take care, Rick.
That is great. That is Adam Nimoy, who is the son of Leonard Nimoy, of course, and he is the director of a new documentary that's being shown tonight to a selected few, For the Love of Spock. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.